What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hillstring Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we are bringing you something a little bit different today.
Yes, indeed. Tell them the name, Jimmy.
That's right. We're gonna call this Clemency.
Clemency.
The Clemency debacle.
Right. That's what it is. And if, you know, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that all, or at least 50 or 54?
56.
56 death row inmates are getting the chance that they should never have gotten to have a clemency hearing. So that it's going to be controversial what we're going to talk about, but we're going to tell you why they're there and everything else.
That's
remind
right.
you.
Yes. Right? Yes, and for those of you outside of Louisiana, we'll catch you up real quick and let you know what's going on, because this is really unprecedented, and this is current information. A lot of times we'll do historic stories right on this show, but this is so current, in fact, that some of it's just a couple of days old. Me and Woody have been on this pretty much from the beginning and have one eye on it, and when we saw what we're going to tell you that transpired, we put both eyes on it real quick. It's serious stuff. And we felt like this is something that, especially here in Louisiana, where we broadcast out of, people needed to know. But really all over the country, all over the world, this is something that you're going to find shocking,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I agree.
So just to kind of start this off, maybe Woody, explain to them what clemency is.
These guys are on death row, y'all, because they're the worst of the worst. And it's not just you killed your wife. in a heated argument or whatever, they have to have aggravating circumstances in their nightmares. And basically the state decide, or not the state, a jury of peers, after they were found guilty for the crimes, they had a death penalty phase. And it's not used that often, but in the death penalty phase, they go over the aggravating circumstances, basically telling why the monsters are what they are. And this was why they need to be put to death, which is, yes, the ultimate punishment. Now, clemency, it just doesn't happen. I mean, they can make it through in appeals and get it overturned or whatever. But clemency means that they're basically sparing their life.
Yeah.
And supposedly, if you get clemency, you'll still be locked up for the rest of your life, and you're going to die in Angola. But that's not. That's where the problem is with this whole freaking thing, and we're going to get into it, because that's not what technically can happen.
To take y'all back to the beginning of this thing, we're going to bring you back to middle of June of this year, and something very strange and very unprecedented happened, and that was over 50 of these death row inmates now. These are all of these people are sentenced to death. They all filed for clemency at the same time.
Right.
Let me say that again. At the same time. The
same moment.
Obviously, that was coordinated. Had to be a coordinated filing. It's the first time anything like that has ever happened as far as all asking for clemency in the same day.
In the world. Not just
never heard of that. Yeah. So
look, these guys are in cells that, you know, share a wall with each other, but they can't see each other.
Yeah.
And 56 of them to come out and file right in Governor John Bel Edwards' last several months in office. And we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
But file all at one time. Better believe somebody had a hand in that.
Somebody definitely had a hand in it. And so they get slated for what's called an administrative review. And that is the parole administration takes that and they look at it and they determine if these people should have a hearing. Mm-hmm. Governor Edwards at that point steps in and he says, you know, essentially that he feels like they should. Mm-hmm. Governor John Bel Edwards, y'all, is a Democratic governor here in the state of Louisiana, and he's unique amongst Democrats. And what we mean by that is he's very pro Second Amendment, and that's something most Democratic people in politics are not.
Right.
He is a former military. Matter of fact, he went to West Point, graduated. He was in the 82nd Airborne.
And he's a high ranking officer.
Yep.
And, you know,
as a brother, is it a brother?
His brother is a sheriff of Tangipahoa Parish, Daniel Edwards. And, you know, so the understand the firearms part and everything, the Second Amendment and all that. And I think he's a good dude, but ever since he's been in office, he's had a pissing contest with the Attorney General, Jeff Landry, who is now going to be running for governor.
Yeah.
And this is John Bel Edwards' last term. Like in January, he's done. The election is coming up, and he knows that, right? So this is his last hours.
Yes.
And then he comes out and does this.
That's right. So he comes out. He asks the parole administration to allow hearings. Now
for death row inmates,
and so there was a problem. And this problem was from the administration standpoint of the parole board administration was there was a legality issue. This was what they were looking at. They basically had an issue where in the state of Louisiana, there is a statute that after you exhaust all your appeals, you are then allowed to request a clemency hearing up to a year after that point.
Right.
None of the 56 death row inmates that are now going to be heard
right.
had filed for clemency within that year time frame. This was the question that the parole administration had. So the parole administration asked for an opinion from the attorney general.
Right, which is the you know, I know y'all know, the attorney general is the highest ranking, not only law enforcement officer in the state, but they run, you know, they give legal opinions on all things like this and everything law enforcement related, et cetera.
And I would go as far as to say probably the second most powerful position in state government.
No doubt about it.
Outside of the governor. So they did what they were supposed to do, which is they saw an issue and they deferred that to the attorney general. And they said, look, we need your opinion, right, you know, in writing.
We don't want to break the law.
Yeah. And they referenced that particular statute. So the attorney general came back and he gave an opinion. So we're going to get into that. But before we do, I do want to, Woody's actually going to read an article to you guys on the day that the clemency was actually requested on the inmates.
Right. It's an article that came out on June 13th, 2023. It says nearly all of Louisiana's death row inmates asked on Tuesday for term limited Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards to spare their lives and grant them clemency, changing their punishment from death penalty to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. The 56 clemency applications came after a bill to abolish the death penalty failed during Louisiana's legislative session, which adjourned on Thursday. Over the spring, Edwards, who is unable to seek re-election this year due to consecutive term limits, opening a huge opportunity for Republicans to win the seat in a reliably red state, voiced his support for the first time to eliminate capital punishment.
That's key.
Key. I mean, all right, I'm going to go on and we'll comment on it. He urged lawmakers to get rid of the death penalty, saying it was inconsistent with Louisiana's pro-life values as it quite literally promotes a culture of death. Cecilia Capel, the executive director of the Louisiana Capital Appeals Project and an attorney for several of the prisoners who have filed clemency applications, said in Tuesday's press release that there are systematic flaws to the death penalty in Louisiana. She cited racial disparity, death sentence prisoners with evidence of intellectual disability, and prosecutorial misconduct that has resulted in inmates being exonerated in recent years. Eric Hole, a spokesman for Edwards, said that all clemency applications are reviewed by the Louisiana Board of Pardons and Committee on Parole. Any applications recommended to the governor by the board members, all of whom were appointed by Edwards, are reviewed on a case-by-case basis before a final decision is made. Only two clemency requests have been granted by Louisiana governors since the state instated the death penalty in the 1970s.
Only two.
And y'all, that was this after they reinstated because they had a moratorium on it for a little bit. It had always been in place. But currently, 60 people sit on Louisiana's death row, and Louisiana has held 28 executions since the Supreme Court reinstated the death penalty in 1976. But the last lethal injection was in January 2010 when the state executed, I'm gonna call him my boy, but the guy I know very well, Gerald Bordelon, a convicted sex offender who confessed to strangling his 12-year-old stepdaughter and waived his appeal. Currently, there are no execution dates set, according to the Department of Corrections. However, other states are proceeding with capital punishment. 27 states had the death penalty. Last year, 18 inmates were executed. In addition, a handful of states are seeking to reinstate other execution methods, such as firing squads, as an alternative to lethal injection after pharmaceutical companies barred the use of their drugs. And basically, that since John Bel Edwards has been in office, nobody's been put to death. And they said it was over, you know, disputes about them getting the medications to do it or whatever. And it's very public history of Attorney General Jeff Landry being like, no, this is the law. These need to go through. And John Bel Edwards has been able to hold it up the whole time. Now the truth comes out in his last hours or his last months in office. He's like, let's just abolish the death penalty in Louisiana. I don't like it.
Yeah, and
well, you've been lying.
He has no sort of controls as to, he doesn't have to worry about being reelected. Right. So a lot of
he's a lame duck.
Yeah. I mean,
it's his last ditch effort to leave his mark.
And that's where you see true colors a lot of times is when there are no consequences to the things you're trying to push from a political standpoint.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I have nothing against John Bel Edwards. I don't think he's been a superstar governor, but I certainly don't think he's been a shithead. I mean, he's been a pretty decent dude, except for this issue, which has been going on for years and years. Now, meanwhile, the victims' families are sitting there anguishing, and they have to live with it every day and everything else. But he hit it on this. My only problem with him is he hit it under the guise of, you know, the pharmaceutical stuff and all that, when he knew all along he wasn't going to let anybody die when he was governor. Executed.
That's right. And so, as we told you, the Louisiana Board of Pardon and Committee on Parole, who, there's a guy by the name of Francis Abbott, he's the executive director, and he requested an opinion from the attorney general on this because he knew that the clemency consideration eligibility, there was a problem with that statute and it being outside of that year. As a matter of fact,
it's illegal.
Totally illegal. Right. And so essentially the governor's asking for a waiver of that.
Right.
Let's just overlook that statute. And he wanted that opinion. Jeff Landry came out and he issued a 4-page opinion. I won't read all that to you, but look, this is important. If you're a patron member, every file that we reference, we are going to post just for patron members on the patron site. The actual documents.
Right.
So these are documents that you could dig up if you like I do and you spend hours and hours on research.
Jim out punted his covers.
Yeah, I really did. But if you're a patron member and you're like me,
it's a treasure trove.
You'll be able to see all these documents that I reference. I'll put them in a file on there. So if you're not a patron member, join Patreon to see that.
And this is the Louisiana Attorney General that we told you about, who's been going against Governor John Bel Edwards' entire terms that Jim's going to read.
So when the Attorney General gets that, he issues that 4-page opinion. I won't read all that to you, but I will read one little reference to you, and that was in reference to that statute. He said, in the matter at hand, there exists no factual basis for the board to engage in an emergency rulemaking. That's what a waiver would be, a situation, an emergency rulemaking. Even to the extent of the nature of the board rules at issue here, and regarding that your request concerns death row inmates, the carrying out of the death penalty upon lawfully convicted sentenced individuals does not satisfy any of the 5 reasons set forth by the legislator. No exigency exists where there are currently no warrants issued for execution and where it has been officially reported that the drugs needed to carry out lethal injection are not available. So he's talking about the rushing of this.
Right.
He's basically saying there is no, number one, why are we rushing this situation? Because there's no drugs to carry out the execution anyway. They won't sell them to us, actually.
It's no cause for them to apply for clemency when they're not going to be put to death, right? You know, there's no urgency, right?
No urgency.
And no urgency.
What's the rush?
I'll tell you what the rush is. He's about to get out of office.
Exactly. Yeah. And incidentally, Attorney General Jeff Landry is running for governor. So someone that is, I don't want to say pro the death penalty, but he would bring it back.
He's seen the horror of these cases, and everybody
Edwards
that's
knows that
not for the death penalty has never had their baby daughter raped and mutilated and dismembered. I'm just giving you whatever eaten. And these people are the worst of the worst, bro. These are not regular crimes.
That's right. So the Advocate runs a story on that. The Advocate is a local paper in Louisiana. And I'm going to read that to you. It's very important. It says, Jeff Landry urges the Louisiana Pardon Board to follow its rules when considering death row clemency applications. He has issued a legal opinion that advises the Louisiana Pardon Board not to hear the clemency application sent in by 56 death row inmates. Landry said the Pardon Board had 440 applications to examine before they get to death row inmates who are hoping Governor Edwards reduces their punishment to life in prison. Why are these applications any more important than the 440 that are already in the pipeline and pending? Landry said. Landry also said the Pardon Board's own rules say that a clemency application should be filed within their last appeal of 1 year. He said there are emergency circumstances like an execution date, but that does not apply in this situation because we can't get the drugs. You have rules out there, and evidently there's a group of people that believe they can always break them, and other people have to follow them. The question is that actually the case? Well, there's a rule in place, and you have to follow the rules. But executive director of the Capitol Appeals Project, Cecilia Capel, said Landry's legal opinion has no binding force on the board. So it gets into a little political stuff there, and then it says there have been several death row inmates that have applied. Not a single one of those applications was kicked out for timeliness, and every one of them was done over a year after the direct appeal. That was Landry's point to this.
Right.
So there's a legal, major legal issue there. However, it didn't stop the problem. And so what happened after that is the parole board looked at the issues with this legality and they said, you know what? We're going to turn away these petitions, clemency petitions. And they did that on July 28th.
Right. And there's no history of it. They get the legal opinion from Jeff Landry and there you go. Right.
That's right.
Now we're going to turn it away because we're going to do the right thing. We're going to follow the letter of the law.
Yeah. So again, that was major news on July 28th.
And I'll read it to y'all real quick. So, you understand, and we're building this story up, y'all, for a reason. And at some point, we're going to get into these people, these 56 petitioners, and their actual crimes. And so, just stick with us. This article came out also from the Advocate on July 28th, the Morning Advocate. But it's after nearly every death row inmate in Louisiana asked for clemency, the state's Pardon Board turned away all 56 petitions. After nearly every death row inmate in Louisiana asked for clemency en masse, the state Pardon Board turned away all 56 petitions this week. Francis Abbott, executive director of Louisiana's Board of Pardons and Committee on Parole, confirmed to the Associated Press on Friday that none of the applicants are currently eligible. That decision was based on an opinion filed last week by Attorney General Jeff Landry, a Republican and gubernatorial candidate who found that the board can't waive a policy requiring a clemency petition to be filed within a year of a judge ruling on an appeal. Exceptions are allowed in some extenuating circumstances, notably if an execution date is near. However, Louisiana does not have any execution date scheduled, and the last lethal injection in the state occurred over a decade ago. Louisiana was failed by our appointed officials this week, Promise of Justice Initiative, a New Orleans-based organization, said in a press release urging Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards to step in and set hearings for clemency petitions. The state has been given a chance to commute death row to life sentences, and Louisiana can still choose life over death, dignity over violence, to choose right over wrong. Over the spring, Edwards, who is unable to seek re-election this year due to consecutive term limits, opening a huge opportunity for Republicans to win the seat in a reliably red state, voiced his support for the first time to eliminate capital punishment. He urged lawmakers to get rid of the death penalty, saying it was inconsistent with Louisiana's pro-life values as it quite literally promotes the culture of death, right? And y'all, the rest of it is the same thing we told you, right? You know, in the other article that I read to you. The deal being is, so now they're
all saying, we're good, cool, right?
We're
yeah,
good. We're good. And
but they followed the law. Right. They denied the application.
But that's not good enough. No, John Bell says,
you reckon it might have pissed you off?
I've been here 8 years, and now I'm gonna come out. I've come out saying politically and personally, I don't believe in it.
That's
so
right.
I'm gonna try to get back and, like him and Jeff Landry have been doing the whole time, one upping each other on the situation. And y'all, the problem is, it's not a problem. It's not a problem for me or Jim. The problem is those 56 people that filed, Jeff Landry more than likely is going to win governor or whoever wins governor. Let's say, and Jeff Landry being the, you know, basically a top law enforcement official knows these cases. He knows the horror of them and everything else. And guess what? If he gets elected governor and goes in office in January, you better believe their death dates are going to start being set again.
Yeah, so the governor, you know, he's pissed, right, at this point. And August 9th, he issues a letter directly to the pardon board from the governor. And it's important to mention,
go ahead,
before we get into this letter, that the pardon board is an appointed position.
Right. The pardon parole board, my mama was on it underneath Governor Edwin Evers. She was appointed to it, right? Yep. They are handpicked and
by
appointed.
The governor.
When I was with the state police, I used to have to do their backgrounds, right? And polygraph them, you know, when they came through. Even though they were appointed positions, this is a powerful position. But you get it because the governor
appointed you.
Yeah, homie.
Yeah. So, I mean, if, you know, it's human nature. You appoint people to positions typically, right, no matter what side of politics you're on, right, that would have your same point of view.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's human nature. So it's important to mention that these are appointed by the governor, and likely many of them probably share his same point of view.
But even if they don't share his point of view, there's like, let's say I'm at the state police and the colonel appoints me to whatever, right? And I'm more than likely going to do what he suggests.
Yeah.
At least give it a shot.
So he's aggravated about the decision not to hear these cases. And he writes, "Dear board members," and this is the actual letter he wrote to them, y'all, "I write you today about the clemency applications that were recently submitted asking the board to consider the recommendation of commution for the 56 incarcerated people at Louisiana State Penitentiary, Bloody Angola, who have been sentenced to death and are awaiting execution. At the board's July 24th meeting, the board was scheduled to consider waiver of rules and board policy." Remember, he wanted them to waive that year, that statute requiring a year. "After consideration of testimony, including a representative of the Office of the Attorney General, the board removed the agenda item from consideration and set aside the applications. After thoughtful consideration, I'm asking the board to set these cases for hearing in a manner least disruptive to the non-capital cases currently pending before the board."
Right.
"It is important to first acknowledge that these applicants are seeking commutations or reductions of their sentences from death to life in prison without benefit of parole. Absent a finding by the court of actual innocence, none of these individuals will be released from prison ever if these applications are granted. Further, these requests are distinguishable from a request of reprieve. As governor, I have the constitutional authority to grant a reprieve or stay of execution unilaterally, but this action is temporary. A commution, which is permanent, is constitutionally predicated upon board recommendation, and the board is given broad authority in adopting rules to perform its duty. At issue in these applications is the interpretation of the rule providing for the time frame which an application for commution of a death sentence may be submitted." So he goes on, y'all, and he basically focuses on two words, the word may and the word shall. And the way that the way that that statute is written uses the word may. So he says to read the provision as a limitation and prohibition of these applications being filed outside a year from the date of denial is misreading of the permissive may versus the mandatory shall. So in other words, if it's written, an inmate may file for clemency within 1 year. That's how it's written now. He's saying in order for it to be mandatory that it has to be a year, it should read the inmate shall. That's his legal reasoning for that. One word, may versus shall. And, you know, you can argue both sides of that point, incidentally, if you're a good attorney. So he goes on to say this, and this is really important. It is no secret where my personal beliefs lie with respect to the death penalty. I'm guided by my deep faith in taking a pro-life stance against the death penalty beyond moral justifications. There are a number of reasons, whether based in law or science, that support the need for mercy. I believe we must consider further the imperfect nature of the criminal justice system and the actual innocence that has been proven far too often. He goes on to talk about some exonerations. And look, we've talked about them on our show where, you know, sadly, there were instances where people were sentenced to death that were not guilty.
Right.
Okay, there's no doubt that that happens, and that's a big argument of his here, but I can tell you 99.99% of the time they get it right.
Yep.
There's always an extenuating circumstance. So he issues that letter. It's actually 4 pages. I'm not going to read it all to you, but it had an effect.
Absolutely.
And the board has now decided to hear those cases. And this is another point to bring up. He said in that letter that, they're never going to be released from prison ever.
It's not true.
It happens all the time. When people get commuted to life sentences, it happens all the time. Look, there are people in prison now that are serving life for second degree murder.
Let me tell you a couple of cases.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Recent cases, and I covered one of these last year at the Crew Bash, all right? And it was these two girls that robbed and murdered this dope dealer, basically. And she got, her name is Dawn Bennett. She got life for second degree murder. In the Louisiana, it used to mean, anyway, life meant life. You're never getting out, right? Well, guess what happened? She got one of these hearings, and they commuted her sentence from the second degree life without to with the possibility of parole. And within 2 months, she had her parole hearing and she got out. The other one, Ashley Posey, and they when robbed, man, they called her uncle. A bunch of them lined up the door and they shot and they killed him. and she got a life without. Guess what? She got one of these hearings, and I think I covered that one on Patreon, but the for Real Life Real Crime. But she got the hearing, and you know, it's been 30 years now, and she gets the hearing, and they gave her, you know, parole basically.
Yeah.
She had that the clemency hearing, and then and her without got taken all, and that made her automatically eligible for parole. You have to do however much of your time, right? And that and she's out. And so this is a very real deal. And while we're building up on the story before we tell you the crimes of what these people committed, this is bullshit. And there's nothing to say that if they get, he can say all he wants to. But there's nothing to tell. He didn't have a crystal ball in the future because these people are going to apply. Now they're going to go, if they get off death row, they're going to get life without. Then you can still petition.
That's right.
And to be heard. And if it gets heard and you get commuted, you're getting out.
You're getting out. Like what he just said, there's no crystal ball to know what's going to happen in the future. And here's the other thing. The parole board, this is important. The parole board has no limitations into what they can grant.
Right.
So technically, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. As a matter of fact, I would say it's highly, highly unlikely it would happen. But technically, you could have the, you know, a guy on death row and they hear this case, which right. that part's going to happen. And they could say, you know what? We feel like you're ready to be released. They could technically recommend release.
Just like another
They don't
cases,
have to go with
it's,
life.
It's the same board that heard Dawn Bennett's and Ashley Posey's when they gave them the clemency and they took away the life without part. Then it's the same board that they go back for. They still have to get this hearing scheduled, and they go, it's like 2 months later, and it's the same board. What do you think the decision is going to be?
That's
you
right.
already recommended it take the life part off and then come back in, and they already know this convict, and they let him out.
Yeah, and that's right. And 3 points here, or a couple of points that I want to make. Number one, look, there are tons of people in prison right now that are in prison for second-degree murder that actually committed first-degree murder.
Right.
And what happened was they plea bargained. They didn't want the death penalty, so they plea bargained to life in prison. So that tells you how bad and heinous the crimes must have been for them to actually get the death penalty.
And I worked so many of them.
Which is first-degree murder.
And you're right, standing where the DA did it because the family didn't want to go for 18 or 20 years of appeals or unfortunately, the victims were more of a high-risk lifestyle or whatever reason they did it. But
spare the family having to testify.
Absolutely. And Mark Lewis, Caitlin Adele, Jana Benoit, right? And Jana Benoit came in off the DNA on the cold case after he murdered Caitlin. They were good. Hey, we're going for the death penalty because you're a serial killer. And you know what he did? Don't put it on trial and I'll take life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about monsters.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people that are there, but you get the death penalty, man, it's something.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't impress it upon you enough. Go listen to the death penalty phase one through whatever on Real Life Real Crime. This dude hacked these people up. That he killed. I mean, he said, "I run their neck like a chicken," and then had sex with the corpse and stuff like that, and then dismembered and put them all over the place. Fuck! What? I mean, and you have a pattern in the history of doing this type of crime. You're gonna do it again.
That's right. They don't even deserve the shot. So, just to tell you the steps and how they work here, because it's important with these reviews. So the board has these hearings with these inmates, these 56 death row inmates. And upon a favorable.
One at a time. Yeah.
One at a time. Well, yes. But they might do five in a day,
let's say. Yeah.
And in this case, they are. They're actually doing five in a day. But the board has these hearings in upon a favorable review. So let's say someone comes up, and I guarantee you there's going to be some that they recommend life in prison that are now serving the death penalty. If they do that issue that favorable review, it goes back to the governor, and he has the option to approve or deny that. Right. Well, you already know. He's already said I'm approving, you know, anybody that comes across, essentially.
Right.
So does it have to be unanimous? The answer to that is no. There are five pardon board members. Four of five have to recommend a favorable review or a quorum. So if, let's say, two didn't show up, they were sick.
Right.
Well, you have three there, two out of three would have to approve.
That's right.
The only time they wouldn't have a meeting and hear it is if you did not have a quorum in the room. So if you only had two people,
they didn't have enough.
They don't have enough. Or if they have four, they're okay, because three out of four is all they would need. So
very valid point.
Very valid point, and just crazy. Now, we're not the only ones that were shocked about this, and the Louisiana District Attorneys Association was they're shocked pissed. About it, and they gave an opinion.
And y'all, these are the people who prosecuted these cases, and then not only in the guilt phase, they say, yeah, you did this heinous crime. Okay, then you turn around and, like, I'm doing a real life, real crime original now. The death penalty phase is a whole separate trial, and where they get to bring in stuff about past crimes and things like that, like the one I'm doing now on Eric Mickelson. He actually confessed to he got found guilty for murdering this World War II veteran and choking him to death and robbing him and cutting him up and all that. Well, you know, when he got arrested for it, he also confessed to Miss Christy O'Pry, murdering her and having sex with her corpse. And then, you know, he did what he did with her, et cetera. These people are the ones who have to prosecute this. And so they live it and they know these families and everything else. And you better believe they don't take prosecution, like Jim was saying earlier, for the going for the death penalty.
And the hard work involved.
Exactly.
In that. Hugo Holland, you think he likes that?
Absolutely. I mean, I bet Mr. Hugo is flipping on this. And he's y'all special prosecutor who's put more people on death row than you can count. But so the Louisiana District Attorney Association, the very powerful organization, right? At every parish in the state has a district attorney. All right. And that's an elected position, y'all. So they wrote this. For immediate release on August 10th, 2023, we have just learned that the Pardon Board has opted to schedule at least 20 clemency hearings from September to November. Anytime the public we serve perceives a thumb on the scales of justice at any level, it erodes their confidence in what we do. Irrespective of your opinion of the death penalty, 11th hour mass expedited clemency hearings are not the proper venue to have the debate. The legislature and the courts are where the will of the people and the Constitution meet. Unfortunately, at least a majority of the Pardon Board has opted to ignore their own rules. The only official opinion on the issue, which they requested, the advice of their own attorney, and the pleas of so many of the victims based solely upon the requests of the governor to proceed with hearings that are clearly untimely. It is worthy of note that while the governor's request expressed concern over the emotional toll this was taken upon the members of the Pardon Board, it is completely devoid of any reference to the impact upon the crime victims and their families. That silence is deafening. It is unconscionable to force any victims to relive the most horrific events of their lives under what is clearly a manufactured crisis. This is unprecedented in our history, and it is disingenuous at best to couch this as the normal order of things. These are the most horrific and complex cases in our system, and they are being rushed through, jumping ahead of 440 previously filed applications. Of course, each DA with affected victims and cases will have the opportunity to oppose each application. It is unfortunate that the survivors and their families are being thrust into this chaos. Rest assured that the district attorneys and their staff are steadfastly working at this very moment to determine the best course of action on how to make sure that the victims are heard and justice prevails. Lauren, signed Lauren M. Lampert, Executive Director. Now I want to talk about that.
Yes.
So y'all on these hearings, this is what happens. The boards, now most of them are done by or published publicly by Zoom, but the board is sitting up there. They bring in the convict. They have some a representative from the prison, and then you'll see on the screen all these other people. If the district attorneys care, or oppose this hearing, like we know they do in this case, that you're going to have a representative from the district attorney's office. You're going to have a representative from the law enforcement agency that made the arrest in the case or worked the case. You're going to have representatives if they choose to be there from the victim's families. But the sad part is the person that's up for parole is going to have representatives for themselves to testify to their character and how good they are and why they should get this special treatment and all this stuff. And it's shit that goes around. So they talk about the crimes. But first of all, they talk about how long you've been down. This is the board asks some questions. How long you've been down for on this charge and what kind of schooling have you done? Have you got your GED? And are you doing this? Have you taken any of your management classes and all this bullshit? Then they ask the correctional officer or the representative of the prison, this instance is going to be Bloody Angola, have they had any infractions? What kind of convict have they been or inmate have they been, et cetera? And then they'll start to ask them questions about the crime, right? And in most cases, and I can remember my mom when she was on the parole board bringing these big freaking stacks of case files home. They're hearing like 10 or 15 each day. They only get the highlights of it, right? Yeah. The poor more. That's the basic information. They don't have the nuts and bolts of it like the DAs and the cops that work these cases and the victims' families can tell how it's impacted their lives. And so certainly they don't have all the time in the world to do it. And they get them in there and listen to it. But you better believe these hearings, there won't be 15 in a day. These hearings are going to take time because if I'm the district attorney or I'm the law enforcement agency that worked it, I'm going to tell you everything. I'm going to tell you how they cut the body up or they raped this little baby and set him on fire or they pulled the teeth. Whatever the aggravating circumstances are, I'm going to make sure that the victim gets heard again.
And that is
the horror of it.
The most important part of this whole thing is the victims are not being, in my opinion, I'm sure Woody's opinion, probably a lot of other people's, represented.
Yeah.
At all.
These crazy. These regular hearings happen every single day. You can go watch them on YouTube. And I've watched some of the cases, people that came up with my cases, like Christina Constance. And she came up for freaking parole and she get in there, she's laughing and shit. And the poor boy, all they could see is that all this good shit that she's got. And she lied. She admitted during the thing, and they didn't catch it on the parole board. She's not supposed to have any contact with the victims. She admitted that she was having contacts with them.
Yes.
And everything else. And fuck, they let her out. But they only have what they have in front of them. Basically, she lied and about the severity of the crimes and everything else. And they don't know any better. All they have is an arrest. You were arrested for this. Tell me what happened. And of course, she blamed it on David Constance and everything else. But in murder cases, y'all, the victim can't come out dig himself out or themselves out of the grave and come in and testify about the horror of the last minutes they experienced on this earth.
That's right. And every district attorney, every district attorney's office in the state got open arms about this. They're upset about it. And yeah, Hiller Moore, who is the district attorney for East Baton Rouge Parish.
Great guy.
He had his opinion on it, and
let's take real quick on it. Not only is he a great guy, y'all, I mean, I do know him, But he is more—he's more than fair. But he believes in fighting for the victims. But if it's wrong, he'll say it's wrong.
That's
and,
right.
And, I mean, talking about the case, and he won't prosecute it.
Yeah. So Hiller Moore, you know, like all of these attorneys and these district attorneys in these parishes, look, they've already put these cases to bed. These people have been convicted. They're right. sentenced to death. You take that file, you put it in an old file cabinet, and it's gone, right? You never have to look at it again. Well, all of a sudden, these 56 requests come in, and your office is on fire having it. Because now you've got to dig up these cases, and you've got to go defend why they don't need. You have to send a representative to say, here's why we don't want them to get clemency. And he wrote a letter when he made his public, because now they've got to make public information requests and all this. And he wrote a letter during that request, and he said, recently over 50 applications for commution were filed on behalf of the capital offenders, including several in East Baton Rouge Parish, including the capital convictions of David Bowie, Quincy Broden, Henry Broadway, which incidentally, if you know who Warwick Dunn is, his mother, who was a police officer.
Corporal Betty Smothers.
Yes.
Baton Rouge City.
That's right. Is one of the ones up.
He murdered her when she was going to the bank. She was working extra duty, but she was in uniform, and he murdered her for a handful of cash.
That's right. Alan Robinson, you know, it goes on to name Gregory Brown. The effort to seek commution has already been well-planned, organized, and financed. This is his words. Right. Extensive media coverage was immediately published, including details on inmates who had petitions filed, as well as interviews with advocates against the death penalty. Right. He's basically saying this was coordinated to some political
end. I mean, it didn't take a fucking rocket scientist to see that this is John Bel Edwards trying to.
His next sentence was, the governor has publicly expressed his opposition to capital punishment, and his term expires January 8th, 2024. The current wave of applications for commution of sentence have come to a surprise to several district attorneys, including myself and many members of the public. To several of the victims' families, the news of the applications came as shock and has caused significant confusion, particularly in the light of the Associated Media exposure. Many family members of murder victims have received letters from attorneys representing the inmates in advance of the disclosure of news of the anticipated filing of clemency applications.
Right.
Based on these letters I've reviewed, they purport to offer communication and support, but they did not inform the victim's family member recipient that they might expect that a clemency application was going to be filed. For purposes of understanding how a victim's family member might receive the news of filing of applications for commution just a short time after receiving a letter offering support, Warwick Dunn has allowed that I may share a letter he received. And Warwick, as we told you, is the son of Betty Smothers, a Baton Rouge police officer who was killed.
And a very famous NFL player.
Yes.
Now the very active community here and builds the houses for the lower income families and gives these houses to people. I mean, he's just a great guy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, a great guy, and he is one of the ones considered. He mentioned that to paint a picture of how heinous, because this was a Baton Rouge police officer that was killed at a bank.
For nothing. And he's got a shit ton of brothers and sisters, too.
Yeah. For crimes so serious as to carry out the death penalty, certain procedural rules are required. As it currently stands, it takes our office several years to bring death penalty cases to trial with hundreds of motions. He goes on to list, you know, just all the work involved in that. So basically what he's saying is, you know, this feels kind of like a slap in the face that we put in all this work, time, and the people's money.
Right. And the people
and the voted. People's wishes.
Yes, they that's You think somebody in a death penalty phase of a trial doesn't hurt them? They don't want to be responsible for somebody being executed, but the facts are where they're so aggravated and so horrendous that they voted to put that person to death.
Yeah, it's just horrible. And I'm going to read you the letter real quick. This is from Sarah Ottinger. She is an attorney at law in New Orleans, and she wrote Warrick Dunn just now in Hiller Moore. I made that reference. First of all, at the top, she said Warren Dunn. She couldn't even get the name right.
That's crazy.
Dear Mr. Dunn, I am no respect. I am writing to introduce myself as attorney representing Henry Broadway. I can imagine that it may be difficult to receive this letter out of the blue from me. I apologize if it adds to your grief. I want to express my deepest sympathies for the loss of your mother. I can't imagine what you've been through, and I want to be sensitive to the impact that Mr. Broadway's proceedings may have on you. For that reason, I have engaged a defense victim outreach specialist to establish an open line of communication so you can be informed of important developments. And she goes on with this apologetic letter. But look, this is required by law.
Right.
You have to inform the victim's families if any sort of hearing is taking place.
That's, exactly right.
That's the only reason she sent that. Get the name right next time.
Get through.
I was offended by that, and I'm not even him. That's disgusting. Right. So we told you all that, and you may wonder who these people are.
Yeah. So let's do this, because we certainly don't want to rush any of them or anything. Jim, why don't you tell them about – let's give them at least one before we close this episode.
Okay, you'll get one.
Give them one. One, and we're going to cover all 56. Now, we don't do politics and all that shit on we try not to, but we're just telling you the facts of how this is unfolding. Now, you're going to get to hear why these 56 people are on death row.
That's right.
Right, and we'll let Jimmy tell you one of them.
So I'm going to, this is, this will tell you how heinous some of these people are. I just basically said, okay, I'm going to let my eyes focus on one name on the page, and I'm going to tell his crime.
Right. And remember that.
So I didn't pick the worst one.
This could have been your family member. This could have been whoever the victim is, could have been your loved one.
So we're going to go with Anthony Bell. And Anthony Bell was convicted of 5 counts in East Baton Rouge Parish of first-degree murder for the May 2006 shooting at the Ministry of Jesus Christ Church. He was also convicted of 1 count of attempted first-degree murder for the shooting of Pastor Claudia Brown. Mm-hmm. The victims were identified as 78-year-old Leonard Howard, 72-year-old Gloria Howard, 67-year-old Dolores McGrew, 47-year-old Darlene Selvage, and Bell's wife, 24-year-old Erica Bell. That's just one of the 56. Now, we're going to do 2 things for you. We're going to, in the next episode, cover the 56, just like we did with that one guy. And for patron members only, we have an extended coverage of the first 20 that are coming up for these hearings. And it's a little longer. It's a little more in depth regarding their crimes.
Yeah, like that's when I remember it. And he went into the church and killed his wife. And then he killed all those elderly people.
Yes.
And they're in church.
And this guy's coming up for clemency.
Yes. And they were in church on a Sunday. And he went in there because he had the red ass with his wife. I think they were going to the separation or something. And he killed her, and he shot all those other people in cold blood.
Yeah.
They all got family members. They all got – I mean, most of them in their 70s. I think one in their 60s, other than his wife being 24. He murdered them for no reason.
That's right.
And now he's up for clemency.
Those
people in church, all those victims didn't get any clemency.
That's right. And look, at the end of the day, this whole thing for me wraps up to, you know, a jury of their peers sentenced them to death, and the people have spoken.
Right.
Period.
And y'all, I'm the
Who is anybody to change that?
Exactly. And like them doing the death penalty, it's just so happens that I'm doing that series right now on Real Life Real Crime, and this is going on. But it is such a serious thing. These are, it could have been you that was on the jury. These are 12 people who, from all walks of life, you know, and who are normal people, and they are having to decide to take someone's life.
Yeah.
They do not take that. You go listen to my series. They do not take it lightly, right? But they hear such horror that they're like, holy smokes, this person doesn't deserve to breathe.
That's right.
And give them the ultimate punishment.
That's right. So next week, we're going to cover all 56 of those. Patreon members, you're going to get a bonus episode just for you also next week that will cover the first 20 coming up for these hearings. These hearings, incidentally, start in October, October 13th, actually.
Yeah, they said September.
Or is it?
September and October.
I think it changed. I think it changed. Maybe so. Yeah, I think they moved it or something. But we'll get confirmation of that. But definitely some hearings do start on October 13th. And that will be the first 20. It'll run throughout the week. Look, they're going to televise these on YouTube live during these hearings, and they're going to archive them. So if you can't, you know, if you work or whatever, can't catch them live, they'll be on YouTube, and we'll provide links for all that.
I'm going to cover several of them in Real Life Real Crime because several of them are cases that I'm familiar with.
Absolutely. So look for that. That'll be good. But Patreon members, we'll go real in depth on the 20 ones that are coming up first. For everybody else, we're going to discuss just a little bit about each of the 56 inmates that are currently going to get hearings.
I'm very,
just like that horrible shit you just heard.
I'm very visual, dude. And I think about, and I, this was a small church over on the other side of Baton Rouge. And I know exactly where it's at and everything. But I think about this guy opening up the doors when they're in service and walking around the room and starts killing these defenseless people. Shoot. Now, you, however many killed, they're all there, right? Yeah. The last victim got to watch all the other victims being shot to death. And what do you do, right? Yeah. These people are the worst of the worst. This shit cannot happen.
No. So look,
but it's all Bloody Angola, y'all, because they're living on death row in Bloody Angola.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're bringing it to you.
Look for it. Next week, we'll discuss all 56 of those folks. And hey, thank you to the Patreon members for supporting us. So I know we just dropped a couple of days ago another transcribed episode for those of you that love to read them. And I know there's a lot of them out there that do.
Right. We appreciate and love each and every one of you. You can't be a Patreon member. That's great, too. We appreciate you. And please like and share us. And
Just your support of doing that is goes a long way. You know, tell your friends. And
make sure to subscribe. And that way you never miss an episode.
That's right. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
Now I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three. Die in
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.